Our subject today is how to break the cycle of fatherlessness. Breaking the fatherless cycle. Now, by cycle, we understand that fatherlessness spreads to succeeding generation. A fatherless son will generally tend to non-father his children. And there are several causes for this. First, he had no example to learn from. He had no father, no personal experience of a genuine in his life father, no model. He might have only been able to observe fatherhood from a long way off, perhaps in somebody else's life. But secondly, the scripture denotes an activity equal or worse than sin. It is called iniquity. And we know that iniquity is a very severe issue because it's one of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. Remember, that's our sins. But he was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquity is also what made Lucifer a once upon a time, good angel. In fact, he was in God's hierarchy of angelic beings, created beings, in one of the top three spots. There's Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And Lucifer turned out to be the devil, and when he committed iniquity, that's what made him fall, and he took one-third, because he was a leader of one-third, with him. And here's what Scripture says about Lucifer. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways until iniquity was found in you. Now, nowhere in Scripture is it found that the sins of the father will be visited upon the sons and daughters. People misquote this over and over again. But rather, what is visited is iniquity. Take a look at the Scripture with me. Visiting the iniquity of the father, not the iniquity of the mother, but the iniquities of the fathers are visited upon the children and upon the grandchildren, the children's children, and it even goes so far as unto the third and to the fourth generation. It's iniquity. And it is cyclical. It goes multi-generation. What is iniquity? It's a person being unequal to his proper condition, position, or function. In this case, it's a father who doesn't father. A father who's not equal to the principles of fathering. And it is this iniquity and any other iniquity that the father has, and we'll talk about that in a whole other series. This iniquity gets passed on to as many as four or more generation. This is the cycle that must be broken. How can the cycle be broken? Now remember, we've already learned previously that God has a system of providing fathering for the fatherless. And there's what we've learned. We learned that the fathers are watched out for by God, that God attaches them to families. He sets the solitary in families. And that the fatherless are to receive special instruction, attention from each of us. But how can this whole fatherless epidemic be resolved? So there's a fourth step, and here it is. The fatherless child must do two things: observe his father and compensate. Two important words: observe and compensate. Now, God has special care for the fathers. We've already shown the special care. Remember the 10 ways we learned? Review them often. You need to have those memorized. But now the fatherless himself must do something about the situation. In other words, God cares. God puts them in a family so they can learn what family's about. And God cooperates, and we cooperate with God to help provide special attention to them. But the fatherless child himself must do something to break that fatherless cycle. Now, I'm about to show you from the scripture precisely what that son or daughter must do to break the cycle. Here we go. Now look at the scripture. Now, lo, if a man begets a son, and that son sees all his father's sins, which he the father hath done. Remember, observe. And considers, seeing what his father has done, to see it and to consider it, and look at this, compensate, doesn't do the same thing. So let's get it going. Grab your notepaper, grab your pen. Here are the instructions of Scripture. Number one, the son must observe his father's sins. Lo, if he beget a son that sees all of his father's, now notice this, he doesn't just see some of them. A son gets to see them all. And all the sins which the father has done. And he considereth, and he doesn't do the same thing. Now watch this. We are to learn from what we do right. We are also to learn from what others do right. But we're also to learn from what we do wrong, and we're also to learn from what other people do wrong so that we don't do those things. We terminate those behaviors. So a son is to observe his father and see all the sins, no matter what they are. What sins in particular? Well, divorce, adultery, lust, because wine and whoredom, remember, take away the heart, cause a man to do absolutely heartless things like desert his wife and desert the children. So a son is to see, first of all, his father's sins, consider them, and not do the same thing. Now, the second thing is that the son has to reject his father's false gods, or the lack of the true God. Now, this is an interesting scripture. This son is one who doth not eat upon the mountains. Well, this has a religious connotations because during these times of this ancient text, men went up into mountains to seek the false gods, gods like Moloch, etc. So the son is to observe his father's sins. And secondly, he's rather reject his father's false concepts about God. Further, he's to reject the idols and the idolatries. Notice, the son has neither lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. The son doesn't follow the idols that the rest of the nation is following after. People get off track by the pursuit of false gods, false idols, things they idolize, materialism. Men and fathers are in danger of selling all their time, all their energies, and all their monies to capture some darling idol or interest. The son must reject the seeking of those idolatries, not just of the father, but of the nation in which he lives. Otherwise, he'll be on the same track, and we're trying to break the cycle. Now, the fourth thing that a son must do is he must stay morally clean. He has not defiled his neighbor's wife. Now, a neighbor isn't just the, quote, next door neighbor, but any adjacent woman to whom he is not married. You see, if a son doesn't do this, defile himself with other women, then already he is not following in his father's wrong steps. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the fifth thing is the son must not cheat others. Neither does he oppress any. He doesn't take advantage of other people. In fact, this son does what his father doesn't do. He keeps his word. Hath not withheld. When he says he does something and pledges to do something, he does it. No performance gap. Haven't we already learned that a man is really only as good as his word anyhow? Men who stood before God and witnesses and said, I take thee to be my lawful wedded wife, to have and hold from this day forward, to forsake all others and keep me only unto thee as long as we both shall live. And a man doesn't keep his word. The Bible calls that man a fool. Now comes a son who sees the father sins, considers it, and decides, I am not doing what my father did. He keeps his word. And then the son must not be given to violence. Neither hath spoiled anyone else, hasn't stolen, hasn't done any violent act. In fact, this son, after considering his father, has done what his father didn't do, and that is he cares about others. He thinks about more than himself. He not only feels for others, but those feelings are accompanied by actions. Look at this. But this boy has given his bread to the hungry, and he provided clothing for those who were naked. Let the fatherless busy themselves in helping others. Why not join the Boy Scouts? Learn duty. Help community endeavors. He cares about others. Look at the next verse. He hath taken off his hand from the poor. He's not oppressing the poor. Always, by the way, always be careful how you treat the poor. The Bible says the rich and the poor, God is the maker of them both. Somehow we have learned to dignify the rich and mock the poor. Now, by the poor, God doesn't refer to the slothful. Slothful, you're not supposed to feed the slothful. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But how we treat the poor is very important. And this boy saw how his father didn't give a care. But he does. He observed his father's sins, considered it, and doesn't follow the bad example of the father. And what this son is doing, he's cooperating with God who cares about him, and he's being put into a family by God, exposed to family life, and getting help from us. But in his role, he sees the father, doesn't follow his bad example. Not only that, but he doesn't rip others off financially. He hath not received usury. Now, this verse is referring to loan sharking. Hasn't ripped people off financially and taken advantage of them. In fact, this boy adjudicates like God. He hath executed my judgments, God says. He makes decisions the way I make decisions, the right way, based on truth and justice and knowledge and wisdom and understanding and prudence. And this son, instead of going the way of his father, watched his father's sins, observed and considered it, and didn't do it as father. But instead, he follows the ways of God. He walks in my statutes. Now, what do you think are the results of that? Here they are. Remember, God washed out for the fatherless. He's attached to families. They receive special attention from us. But now the fatherless observes and compensates, and these three steps lead to, look at this now, great success in spite of the father. Look at this. this iniquity thing is broken. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. But what about the father? As for his father, because the father cruelly oppressed and spoiled his brother by violence, and did not that which is good among the people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. It won't get passed on. That's how the cycle is broken.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.